Well, good morning, everybody. While we may not be going out to stores as often as we used to, or hopefully aren't, one of the most common questions that I felt like I'm always asked when I'm in a store is that greeter or that person walking down the aisle saying, "Hey, is there anything I can help you with? Or can I help you with something that you're looking for?" It's really become the standard question that all the help in every store is trying to offer now is, "How can I help you?" We put tags on our greeters, even here at Ashworth, that just say right there, how can I help you today? Because as a society, we want to be a helpful people. We want to be able to help the people that are in the places we work or we live or we worship. And it's become so common that even nowadays in these strange times we live in, for organizations like our church and other organizations all over are saying, how can we help the people who are going through difficulties without their jobs, with, you know, health issues, who've been quarantined in their house for 14 days? We're all looking for somebody that we can go help. We're a society of people who want to be helpful to others. But on the flip side of the equation, we tend to be people who aren't very good at receiving the help. When somebody offers to help us, typically you might be like me with that quick answer, "No, I'm fine, thanks for offering." For some reason, it's as though we look at being able to offer help as being good, and we have the strength to help somebody else. But if you're on the other side of that equation and you have to receive the help, that in some way we almost think of as being bad or showing weakness. And so as a result, we tend to be a people who aren't very good at receiving other people's assistance in our lives. Right now, why don't you let us know in that chat window, how are you at receiving help from others on a scale of 1 to 5, where maybe 1 is, "I never receive help from anybody," to a 5 that says, "If somebody offers me help, absolutely, I'm going to take it," and 3 being somewhere in the middle. I know for me, I'm probably a 3 because it really depends on the situation. If it's a small ask, just needing to borrow a tool from a neighbor, sure, I'm willing to ask for that help. But if it's a job that's going to take a couple hours of somebody's time to help me do something around my house, then rather than asking for their help, it's as though I would rather pay somebody, hire a contractor to do that work, because I feel like it goes beyond what somebody should be offering for free help. I don't know why I have that in my mind. I got great neighbors on both sides of me who are offering me help anytime I need it. But unfortunately, our unwillingness to ask for help, to try to be self-reliant, hinders our ability sometimes to tell Jesus what it is that we need from him. Maybe we're willing to ask for something from him if we're stuck in a hard situation. If we're dealing with a health issue, we're ill, we're typically pretty quick to ask Jesus to heal us from that sickness and to make us healthy again. But what else is it that we really want Jesus to do for us? Do we ever think, what is it that we want from Jesus? And today we're going to look actually at 2 back-to-back stories that come from Mark chapter 10, where Jesus asked people the exact same question. He asked them, "What do you want for me to do for you?" In the first of the 2 stories, we see 2 of Jesus' disciples, James and John, and they approach him and they say to him, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask." It's kind of an interesting thing. If your kid comes up to you and says, "We want for you to do whatever I'm about to ask you," you probably are thinking, what are you going to ask? And that's where Jesus goes with it. He asks them the question, "What do you want for me to do for you?" And after Jesus does that, they reply, "Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory." Essentially, they ask to be elevated, to be esteemed, to share in Jesus' own glory. It's as if they don't know Jesus at all. Remember, Jesus is the one that says, it's better to give than to receive. He's the one who says, "I came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve." He's the one who said, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." It seems so out of place for them to be coming to him and saying, "Hey, we want to sit at your right and left hand sides in glory." And then in the very next story, we get such a contrasting visual as we're introduced to the first person Jesus heals who's given a name, and that's blind Bartimaeus. And he's a beggar who's sitting alongside the side of the road, hoping to capitalize on the charity of some of the generous Jews who would have been heading towards Jerusalem on their pilgrimage as they were preparing for Passover. And being a beggar, he would have typically been completely ignored by most of the crowd as they were going by. Ignored by Jesus, probably, as he had the masses all around him. If it weren't for him crying out repeatedly, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." But it was in that cry that Bartimaeus demonstrated his belief that Jesus was the promised Messiah who is going to come from the line of David. It's not something unusual that we maybe gloss over as we're reading our Bible. Oh, Jesus, Son of David. No, as he said that line, Son of David, he was showing his faith and his belief that Jesus was the Messiah who had been written about by the Old Testament prophets, the one who would come from the line of David to ultimately make everything right and to rule and reign forever in the line of David. So after hearing Jesus was coming and him creating all this ruckus, shouting as much as he could to try to get everybody's attention, the crowd did what maybe you and I might have. They tried to shush him. They tried to say, "Hey, Bartimaeus, be quiet. You're a nobody. And here Jesus is walking through here. Know your role. Stay in your place." But that's not what happened. Instead, what we read in Mark 10, verse 49, it says, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, and they said, "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling for you." And so throwing his cloak aside, probably his only possession, he throws it aside and he jumps to his feet and he came to Jesus. Now when Bartimaeus hears Jesus ask him, "What do you want me to do for you?" he knows exactly what he wants. He knows what help he needs. He doesn't ask for money like he'd been asking people for probably years and years before then as a beggar. But no, right now is his time to ask for exactly what he needs from somebody who's not a normal person. Jesus is not like everybody else that he's asked money from before. He understands that Jesus is different. And so he says, "Rabbi, I want to see." And that word rabbi there, actually in the Aramaic, which this would have been written in, was rabboni. And if you look at that word rabboni, in Jewish texts it was used rather frequently. And every time rabboni is used, it is actually used as somebody referring to God, never used to refer to somebody who is human. And so what we see here is even in this simple word where he says rabboni, I want to see, he's equating Jesus with God. And he's saying, "Jesus, I know that you are not merely a man, and so I'm not going to ask from you for money like I've asked from so many men before, but I'm going to ask from you for the one thing I know you can give me that nobody else could. I want to see." And in that moment, Jesus says, "Go, your faith has healed you." And the text tells us immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. And what's unique about this miracle, beyond that we have the man's name, but he is the first person who is healed who does not go back to his home. He does not go back to doing what he was doing. Because Bartimaeus didn't really have a home. As a beggar, he didn't have stuff like we have. And so it says instead that he got up and he followed Jesus along the road. Where the story begins, Bartimaeus was a blind beggar along the side of the road. He was an outsider, an outcast. But at the end of the story, he's a disciple walking and following Jesus along the road, now welcomed into the kingdom of God. And we learn a lot from the story of Bartimaeus when we see how he is being contrasted by Mark by a couple of other characters. First, when we contrast Bartimaeus with James and John, the others who Jesus asked, "What would you like for me to do for you?" we see the difference between asking for the right thing and the wrong thing. The disciples knew what they wanted from Jesus, but even he told them they didn't know what they were asking for. They wanted glory, But Jesus came and lived a life to be an example for us of humility. Meanwhile, Bartimaeus knew what he wanted. He wanted to see. He wasn't asking for something extraordinary. He was asking for something basic to all of life. And it was because of his faith for that and asking for the right thing, asking for what he actually wanted, sight to live a restored life, that we see that Jesus healed him. And today I'm telling you that Jesus asks every single one of us, what do you want from me today? That's a question we're all being asked. But I think it's something that most of us never consider. We never think about, what is it that I want from Jesus? So we don't have a clear answer in our minds. We don't have a clear prayer in our hearts. We never consider what we want from Jesus. Or maybe we're asking for things on the surface. We're saying, Jesus, I want to have enough money in this job to be able to live and enjoy my life that I've got. When really the deeper surface issue is, Jesus, I want security that I'm going to be able to take care of my family. And whether it's this job or another job, I don't really care. I just want to be able to take care of my family, and I trust that you will be my provider. Or maybe you're asking completely for the wrong thing. Maybe you're like James and John, and you're asking for something that's rooted in a selfishness inside of you, or rooted in comfort or fame or some other sinful desire that might become a snare for you, and you don't even realize it. But in asking for the wrong thing, Jesus maybe isn't going to answer that prayer. But the question is, how do you know if what you're asking from Jesus is a right thing or a wrong thing? And I think we can know if what we're asking for is noble and right if we look at the motives of our heart. We have to look inside and we have to say, why am I asking for this in the first place? Is this because I just want to keep up with the Joneses? Or is this because I haven't really considered the true deep desire of my heart, and so I'm just asking for something I think is going to help? While Jesus knows that that's not actually what it is that I'm hungering and thirsting for? Perhaps we need to instead recognize that the motives of our hearts need to be things that line up with God, with what God wants for us. God's will is displayed in the Bible. God's desire is for us to be blessed, to be able to be a blessing to others, for us to be able to love and take care of others, for us to be healthy and restored, to be able to enjoy God in this world that He's put us in. And so as long as our desire, our want, is something that lines up with the kingdom values that have been demonstrated for us through all of God's written scripture, then we know that we're asking for the right thing. And if your need then isn't motivated by selfishness or greed or a sinful heart, then take a page from Bartimaeus and repetitively be out there and be saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Or maybe you can look at another person that we see who's famous for being repetitive in their ask and for not taking no for an answer. And that's the story Jesus told of the woman who kept going back to the unjust judge and asking for justice. And as he tells the story, he says, day after day, the woman kept going back to the judge until finally the judge said, fine, I'll just give you what you're asking. And he ends that story by saying, wouldn't a loving father all the more be willing to give you what you ask? And so when we turn to Jesus with our wants and our desires, rather than relying on ourselves, which we've already discussed, maybe that's a weakness of many of us. We don't like to ask others for help. But when we say, Jesus, I can't find a solution on my own. Or maybe I can try, but I'm not going to go there first. I'm going to go to you first, Jesus. I'm going to see you as my provider. And we turn to him. We demonstrate our own faith in Jesus, the one who can provide for our need. And we show him how we realize he is the one who can truly meet our need we have within. That we rely on him rather than seeing him as instead just one of the many options. And Jesus, I'll ask you for help, and I'll ask my neighbor, and I'll do my research on the internet, and maybe you'll come through, maybe you won't. I've got a ton of backup plans in place. And he's saying, no, trust me, rely on me, put your faith in me. I want to be the one who provides for you. Now, this clearly raises a really big question for us today. Why did Bartimaeus receive his physical healing of sight while others, maybe like you, haven't? And I know that this creates a lot of tension for many of us as we see some people get healed with the amazing supernatural miracle while others sit there and pray repeatedly asking God for that healing and they never seem to receive it. And some have used this passage and twisted it in all sorts of ways, maybe saying that if you haven't received your healing, that you just don't have enough faith. Or others take it and they believe that if they name and claim what they want and they have enough faith, that they can ask Jesus for anything. And there are no right and wrong things to be asking Jesus for. And no, I can't give you a simple answer as to why some people's prayers seem to be answered by miraculous events while others aren't. But what I can tell you is that Jesus wants you to continue to bring his kingdom to this earth. And he wants to give good gifts to his children like you and like me. So we need to, after we identify and we investigate the desires and the motives of our heart, once we know that they're good and we trust that they're good, then we need to confidently go to the Lord in prayer and say, Jesus, I need this from you. And we need to trust that some way, somehow, he will answer our prayers. The second contrasting element that we see in this story is when we compare Bartimaeus with the crowd. It's at that moment we're able to see the difference between being physically blind and being spiritually blind. Here we see Bartimaeus, and he's calling out, Jesus, Son of David. He's asking for mercy, he's asking for healing, while the crowd is acting as a barrier to that healing. The crowd is trying to stop Bartimaeus from receiving the restoration and the life that he is after. And the irony here is that Bartimaeus, while physically blind, saw the situation through spiritual eyes more clearly than anybody in that crowd. He's the one who is calling out, Son of David. He's the one who is calling out, Rabboni. He's the one who understood Jesus was the Messiah who was beyond any man, who could do what no man could do for him at any point in his life up till now. He saw the situation clearly, spiritually speaking, more than anybody in that crowd, and more than James and John even, for that matter, two of Jesus' disciples. And it's in this contrasted relationship that we must ask ourselves, what spiritual realities that we might be blind to ourselves? Perhaps we're asking Jesus for the wrong things because we don't see Jesus clearly for who he is or for what mission he is trying to accomplish in and through us. We have to understand, Jesus isn't just a genie who gives us three magic wishes to do whatever we want for our lives, but Jesus is on a mission as this is his kingdom, and he's trying to bring his kingdom of love and peace and hope and grace to a spiritually blind world. And I understand it's hard to know what your blind spots are. But I encourage you this week, take a moment and maybe journal if you're joining us in the quarantine challenge, or if you're not, maybe talk to somebody about this message and ask them, where are there areas maybe that I'm spiritually blind to what Jesus wants to do in my life? Or maybe take that to prayer and say, God, I can't see where I'm blind to what you're trying to do in my life. Show me by your Holy Spirit where I have areas of spiritual blindness in my life. And secondly, talk to that person or journal, write in your journal, what is it that you want Jesus to do for you? If Jesus were to walk into the room you're sitting in right now and say, what is it that you want from me? What would you say? What would your prayer be? What is that ask that says, Jesus, more than anything else, this is what I want? Because we have a Heavenly Father who wants to give you that gift. He wants to offer whatever it is that you need, and he wants to give it to you. But we have to be people who have clarity and know what to ask, ask with right motives, and ask with the faith that says, God, I know that you are willing and able to meet this need. So think about that for a while. Write that in your journal. Talk about it. Have that be something that's at the front of mind this week. Jesus, if you were to ask me, this is the thing that I want. And then bring that before God in prayer. Come back to him over and over and say, God, I didn't realize what I wanted. This is what I want. And persistently and in faith, ask him and watch what God might do for you in the coming weeks. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for these stories that we have recorded for us, where we see your goodness, we see your faithfulness, your willingness to answer our prayers, to when people ask from you what they need, that you're able to say, yeah, I can do that. That we see Bartimaeus be healed, that we see that you are a God who wants to bring restoration into our lives. And I ask right now, God, that you would show us the areas where maybe we have been blind, where we haven't known what to ask for, where spiritually speaking, we simply don't see things clearly. And I ask, God, that you would help us to see the situation we're living in all around us right now, which is so strange and so upside down. Help us to see things clearly. Help us to see ways that we can be a blessing to others like we want to do. Help us to be willing to receive help from others, which maybe we struggle to. Maybe even, God, in others offering help to us, you can answer a prayer that we have in our own hearts. But God, I ask above all these things that you would give us the desire of our hearts, that you would help us to have clarity in what that is, that you would help us to ask with right motives, and that you would show us your faithfulness and your loving kindness, God, in bringing these things to us, these wants and these desires that maybe we've never even realized we had. God, we thank you that you are a God who is personal, that you are a God who knows us on the inside, knows us better than we even know ourselves, and that you are a God who answers our prayers. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.